This is the moving season. Kids are leaving college, families are taking vacations, and if you look in your backyard, you may see some bees hunting for real estate. Here's NPR's science correspondent, Robert Krulwich.
It starts with a hum. You might hear it in the woods, or maybe in your backyard. In springtime, says Cornell professor Tom Seeley, a beehive gets very crowded, so often a bunch of bees will split off, led by the queen, and the first thing they're going to need is a new home, so they've got to choose one. But how they choose, that's the big surprise. It turns out that bees vote, and Tom Seeley has figured out how they do it.
They fly out of the parental hive, and it's a mass exodus, and then they reassemble. Once they're outside, they assemble themselves into a beard-like cluster. It's about the size of a soccer ball.
A beard-like cluster? So it means that they look like a beard?
Yeah, if Santa Claus had a dark brown beard, that's what it would look like. It hangs from a tree branch, and it kind of sways around a little bit like a beard would blow around.
And when they're swarming, at this point, they're gentle, right? They don't sting you if you try to touch them?
Yes, you can go up to them, you can put your finger in the cluster and feel how warm it is inside. You do all sorts of stuff. Like, you can even do scientific investigations of them.
Okay, so let us ask, what are the bees now looking for? Well, Tom says they need a hole in a tree high off the ground, lots of space inside, narrow opening, facing in the right direction.
So they've got a real problem. Finding first-rate living quarters is not easy for honeybees.
And it turns out they don't have any, bee instinct that says, here's the place. The queen is not involved at all. Instead,
The bees that go looking, and we call these nest site scouts, they are among the oldest and probably the most experienced bees in the swarm.
And they're a small group, you say, about 5% of the hive. So how many bees is that?
5%? So that would be about 300 to 500. Yeah. So that's a sizable search committee.
Yeah. So imagine you're a scout. You're all female. So off you go, wandering the forest. You pass an elm tree, then a beech tree, then an oak tree. Then on the oak tree, you see a nice-looking hole. So you enter, you look around. And then after your inspection?
What you will do at that point is you will come back to the swarm cluster, and there you will perform a waggle dance.
That's a classic dance in the style of a figure eight done by honeybees. And what the waggle dance says is, it's here, it's here, to find it you gotta go here. It's here, it's here, to find it you gotta go north by northwest, 120 degrees by the dandelions and the rhododendrons.
That's it, yep. Then she runs right around again, back to the starting point, and does another one over and over again. And she's indicating the direction and distance to the site that she discovered. I should mention, she spent about 30 minutes checking out that site. She's measured all the relevant properties of the site. It's as if she ranks it on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being tops. When she gets back to the swarm, if it's a 10, she might do 300 of these dance circuits, which might take 10 minutes. But if it's only mediocre, let's say it's a 3, she might only do 30 of the dance circuits, which could only take a minute or two. And so the better she thinks her site is, the longer, the more persistently she will dance to advertise that site.
And the more she dances, the more the other scout bees back at the swarm, they get to see the dance. So now they have directions, and they can also visit the same site.
Exactly. If you're only dancing 1 minute, it might only be maybe 5 or 6 bees that can get the message. If you're dancing 10 minutes, it might be 50 or 60 bees that can get your message.
So if they like the site, then they come back and they dance the same dance, and dancers beget more dancers and more dancers, and that's how they vote. Eventually, one dance wins.
This process tends to snowball.
Well, here's a question. Do they end up making the right choice? I mean,
We know that they do choose well. That was an important question to address.
He knows because he ran an experiment. He built 5 nest-like boxes and placed them near a beehive in Maine.
And of those 5, one of them will be an excellent home site. It'll be a box with 40 liters of space.
And that's just perfect size. So over and over, and year after year, he let the bees choose a box, which they did.
And overall, it's probably 90 to 95% of the time they choose the best box.
That surprises me, because I would think if you got a really persuasive but misguided, an Adolf Hitler bee. So she's like fabulously good at speaking, and she gives the best wiggle dances, and everybody follows her to hell. So they all go to the worst possible site. Why doesn't that happen?
The reason that doesn't happen, Robert, is that scout bees do not blindly follow one very enthusiastic dancer.
In fact, these bees, they don't follow anybody, he says.
Each of those bees makes her own independent evaluation of that site. And only if the bee judges that that site really is good Will she herself then come back to the swarm and advertise it?
So there are checks and balances here.
That's right. That's a key part of this whole process.
So no Hitlers, no bullies, no queen telling you how to vote. The scouts just dance themselves into a kind of voting consensus.
And that's certainly how it works here. This demonstrates that democracy really does work.
Well, there's one little sneaky thing that nature gave these bees that you just haven't mentioned.
That's right.
What about a bee who's absolutely convinced that she's got the best site and the majority wants an oak tree, she wants an elm tree, and she's thinking, no, I will never, ever, ever give up.
We haven't seen any bees like that.
Really?
That's correct. In the world of scout bees, you don't have diehard bees that just dance and dance and dance forever.
So what do they do?
A bee puts forth her opinion for a while, as expressed in her dance, and then she goes quiet. It's what I call the retire and rest.
So she'll do 300 dances for her elm tree, and then when she's done, all the passion just kind of disappears. It's like water going down a drain.
Yes, that's it. Yep.
And this is genetic. It's built in?
That's built in. And when you think about it, that works really well because it kind of clears the decks.
I'll say there's now you don't have fanatics.
Because those fanatics, they're kind of gumming up the works. Huh. They're keeping an idea going beyond the point at which it's actually useful.
On the other hand, you can't get a principled bee. What you get, actually, is animals who deep in their DNA have a nature that favors consensus.
Yes, each bee's behavior is tuned, is designed, has been shaped by natural selection to make the swarm a good decision-making body.
And do you find yourself admiring these bees?
Oh, tremendously. In fact, I admire them so much, I've used some of the things that I've learned to organize committee meetings.
Like what kind of things?
We had a very big debate, didn't come to a conclusion, and the chairman turned to me and said, well, Tom, what would the bees do? And I'd have to say, well, Greg,
bees aren't ever fanatics like some professors we know.
Yeah, that's right. I prefer to say they're not stubborn.
Well, that's a much better way to say it. Tom Seeley's bee studies appear in his book, Honey Bee Democracy. Robert Milwich, NPR News.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Mary Louise Kelly.
And I'm Renee Montaigne.